This is Seattle's Morning News. A federal appeals court has ruled that President Trump may not, in fact, block critics from commenting on his Twitter account. To find out just exactly why the court came to that decision, let's go to former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, a conversation made possible by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. So Twitter is a private company, Rob, and it gives users the power to block people who are annoying them. Why doesn't that apply in the president's case as far as the court's concerned?
Well, there are several plaintiffs who complained that they had been blocked by President Trump from viewing his Twitter account, which meant that they could not participate in conversations, replies to his tweets, etc. So for those Twitter users out there, they all know you can comment on a tweet and then get into a conversation with another Twitter user about it or with the person who posted the tweet. President Trump blocked several people from doing that. They've since been unblocked by President Trump. But it really came down to whether or not he was using his and continues to use his Twitter account in his personal capacity or is using it to conduct government business. And there's lots of evidence that although he created the @RealDonaldTrump Twitter account long before he came to office, that he's been using it consistently, steadily to conduct government business. There's just no credible argument to the contrary. The government essentially admitted that in the hearing on this case. One example is that the official Twitter account for the president, which is @POTUS, regularly retweets content that @RealDonaldTrump posts. And there are a lot of other examples as well, a lot of other pieces of evidence that he's using his @RealDonaldTrump account for government business.
But Twitter is a private service. The First Amendment applies only to government services, I thought. So if Twitter is a private service, gives President Trump, even as a public figure, the power to block access to his account, why can't he use that as any other Twitter user would?
It doesn't matter that Twitter is privately owned. What matters is it's being used by government officials for public purposes. There was a case several years ago of a government agency leasing a privately owned theater and using it for government purposes and then trying to exclude some people from coming into that theater. That violated the First Amendment as well. So the ownership of the forum doesn't matter, although, you know, it does make things a little more complicated that we've got a digital town hall or a series of public squares that are privately owned by social media companies like Twitter and Facebook. That's new. I mean, we've never seen this scale of private ownership of town squares, if you will. You know, to us lawyers, the more interesting question is whether this principle now is going to be extended to Facebook and Twitter and other social media companies themselves who choose to restrict users that they deem, for example, to use hate speech.
Right.
So does the First Amendment protect someone who wants to engage in hate speech? Or does it protect their right to use Facebook, to be on Twitter? Or can social media companies block people, restrict their use from those platforms?
Now, the other upshot from this appeals court decision against the president is that critics of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who she has blocked from her House of Representatives Twitter feed, are saying, wait a second, if you can force the president to let critics have at it, then why shouldn't her critics also have the right to have at it?
Right. That's right. She's already been sued, I think, as of yesterday by someone who's planning to run against her in the next election, who she blocked from her Twitter account. But it isn't just high profile politicians like that representative or the president. There was a case not long ago involving a member of a county board of supervisors, I think was chairing the board at the time and had control over that board of supervisors' Facebook account, was blocking people who were posting nasty comments about her colleagues and her. She wasn't allowed to do that either. Another case I came across that is also important from 2017 called Packingham. This is a Supreme Court decision which struck down a North Carolina law that prohibited registered sex offenders from using Facebook. In fact, the law that was struck down made it a crime for registered sex offenders to be on Facebook, and the Supreme Court struck that down because social media use is, quote, protected First Amendment activity. So these are relatively new developments in the last couple of years, which I think have a lot of consequence going forward.
So this even applies to somebody who might be representing a local water district commissioner, for example.
Oh, absolutely. And not only people who are in office, but people who are running for office. We're already seeing decisions come down that say that if you're a candidate, you filed for office, you're running for, say, the Washington State Legislature, you don't get to block people from your campaign account who are posting nasty statements about you. You don't get to block them from your Facebook account. The only way to be safe if you're an elected official or a candidate is to keep your personal account personal and limit your campaigning and your government activity to your official accounts, where, again, you can't block people from participating.
Former State Attorney General Rob McKenna, our conversation brought to you by Arista Point Employee Benefit Consultants. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Dave.